fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. My opening serve on the Sunny Side of Sports is U.S. Open tennis. We've reached the semifinal stage in both the men's and women's singles competitions at the big Grand Slam tournament in New York. The ladies will take center stage later Thursday night at the 24,000-seat Arthur Ashe Stadium, the world's biggest tennis stadium. In the first semifinal, six-time U.S. Open champion Serena Williams of the USA will play Anastasia Sevastova of Latvia. Our VOA tennis fans will remember Serena missed the U.S. Open last year to give birth to her daughter, Olympia. And in the second semifinal Thursday night, American Madison Keys, a finalist in 2017, will meet Japan's Naomi Osaka. Now, for the first time in U.S. Open history, there are two Japanese players in the semifinals. On the men's side, Japan's Kei Nishikori will challenge two-time U.S. Open champion Novak Djokovic of Serbia on Friday. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Japan's Naomi Osaka and Kei Nishikori, making history at the U.S. Open tennis tournament. There's one other men's semifinal on Friday. It should be a cracker of a match. 2009 U.S. Open winner Juan Martín Del Potro of Argentina. He'll play world number one and defending champion Rafael Nadal of Spain. Now, my VOA colleague Gwen Ooten will have more U.S. Open tennis news a little later in the show, so please stay tuned. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. African football fans are looking forward to a big weekend of qualifying matches for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. There are 24 matches scheduled, spanning all 12 qualifying groups. The top two teams in each of the groups will advance to next year's Nations Cup, which will be the first Nations Cup to feature 24 teams. In one of the matches on Saturday, the Seychelles will host Nigeria. The Pirates of the Seychelles have never qualified for the Nations Cup, while the Super Eagles of Nigeria are three-time Nations Cup champions with their last trophy in 2013. However, the Super Eagles did not qualify for the 2015 and 2017 Nations Cup tournaments, so I think they have more than a little motivation to book their ticket to Cameroon 2019. To find out about Nigeria's preparations, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called Victoria, the capital of the Seychelles, where he reached the media officer of the Super Eagles, Toyin Ibitoye.
We have settled in here very well. Seychelles is a very beautiful country, a small island, but we have settled in very well. We've had good training sessions here, and we've enjoyed everything. We are focused because we have not been to the Nations Cup for some time. We want to go back. The last time we were at the Nations Cup, we won it, but we've not been there since that time. So we have a lot at stake for us in this game. Seychelles has been a very beautiful place for us. The people have received us very warmly, and we are expecting a great game on Saturday.
Talking about expecting a great game, we understand that three of the regular players are out because of injuries. Who are they, and are there replacements for them?
Yeah, we are going to be missing our captain, who was not called for this game because he wanted to fully recover from an injury and be fit. But three of those who were called up had to withdraw because of injuries. They are William Ekong, defender, Alex Iwobi, winger, an attacker, and of course Ola Aina, under defender. They've been excused because of injuries. But we have adequate cover for them. There are no replacements. We have 21 players in camp. Only 18 will be dressed for the game, and we have adequate cover in all the departments. So we will miss these players, no doubt, because they are good players, but we have players here who are ready to step up and also deliver a good result for Nigeria.
For the match against Seychelles on Saturday, and knowing the position of Nigeria and the standings in their group now, is it a must win for the Super Eagles?
We have to get a good result, no doubt about it. We are third in the group, and it's not a good position for us at the moment, so we have to work ourselves back to the top, starting with Saturday's game. We cannot take anything for granted. Every game is important. Now we have 5 games left. We want to see how we can pick up all the points available from these 5 games and qualify for the Nations Cup next year. So every game is important. We cannot underrate anybody anymore. We cannot take things for granted anymore. And we cannot throw away points anymore. So we have to fight. And we are going to fight on Saturday.
That's Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of Nigeria's national football team. And Toyin spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye by telephone from Victoria in the Seychelles. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again on the show is Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Anthony Joshua versus Povetkin on September 22nd. What's the latest from the two camps?
The fight is in place. These are two Olympians. Povetkin won the super heavyweight gold in 2004 Athens, and AJ won it 2012 in the UK. Both guys are big punchers, but what shocked we, the fight aficionados, Daniel Dubois, a prospect heavyweight, has been beating up Povetkin in training camp. And the pictures we've just seen recently, Sonny, black eye on Povetkin. Why will a trainer or a manager bring in a young heavyweight to beat up on your man who's ready to make millions on September 22? Bad move by Povetkin camp.
Does this indicate a mismatch on September 22nd?
It indicates a couple of things, Sonny. It indicates that the defense is not there for Povetkin, and that he'll be easy to hit if a guy who's not as strong and big as Anthony Joshua can beat you up and tear you up in camp. What happens when the big diesel hits you, Sonny? The knockout. And, I don't see the fight going the distance because he'll be there to hit and to make Anthony Joshua look great.
Nnamdi, what about the broadcasting platform for AJ Povetkin? Can you talk about that?
Sonny, this is the first time we in America will not get to see Anthony Joshua on Showtime. You know, we enjoy watching him from Sheffield or from Wembley on Showtime in the afternoon, and they repeat in the evening. This new platform called The Zone, D-A-Z-N, you have to subscribe and pay $10 a month to have this fight. And I bet you one thing, Sonny, fight fans are not doing that because the fight fans are already paying ESPN $5 to see fights. So why pay $10 to see a British heavyweight against a Russian heavyweight out of London? The numbers will not be there. And it's going to really affect the fan base of Anthony Joshua in America when it comes down to the fight with Deontay Wilder. Mind you, if Deontay Wilder destroys Tyson Fury, then negotiating for the fight with Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder will be impossible.
Let's stick with the big boys, Nnamdi. In Belfast recently, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury announced that they would meet in a heavyweight showdown, but things still kind of up in the air. Talk about that.
Sonny, no dates, no venue. It's all talk. And there's rumblings in the game now that Gypsy King is scared to fight. Gypsy King is talking about needing one more tune-up fight with the dead man before he gets ready. We've always said that he's not ready. He will have his head knocked out. Going against Deontay Wilder after 2.5 years layoff and coming back with 2 easy fights, you're not ready. And then it's going to be one of the easiest fights for Deontay Wilder. So now he's rethinking and they say, well, but he's still talking all kinds of stuff. You know, he just posted a video whereby he threatened Deontay Wilder. Mind you, this dude is a hype man, you know. He'll make you go and buy tickets right away. So will this fight happen in 2018? Maybe no, it may happen in 2019, but I bet you one thing, he will talk up the fight, he will hype the fight, the venue will sell out, and a lot of people will come out.
What about the pay-per-view numbers for Wilder Fury? Do you see those numbers being big?
Not really, because the fight fans in America, they are not dummies. They can tell if this is going to be a blowout. They're lucky if they get 500,000 pay-per-view buys, you know. So right now, we are waiting for him to make up his mind if he's going to go in and take on Deontay Wilder. And not only that, they better have a very good insurance company to underwrite the fight, because he may bail out after signing the contract and complain about injury and stay away. This is what he did to Klitschko. Remember that, Sonny?
Duly noted, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with an update and reaction from the winners on Wednesday at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It took Novak Djokovic 2 hours and 48 minutes to defeat Australian John Millman and advance to the semifinal round. Despite the heat and humidity, Djokovic kept his mental cool to win the match in straight sets. Afterwards, he had nothing but praise for his opponent.
I really have respect for him. You know, I thought his kind of approach and mindset, even before Roger's match against Roger and match against me today, he showed the respect to us. But he said, "Yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to play. I'm not going to play, you know, to satisfy the crowd and make it a nice looking match. I just want to win." And credit to him for saying that and coming out and really backing that up with the performance. I mean, he's a great fighter.
And he admitted he was surprised to be playing Millman instead of Roger Federer.
I was, I think, alongside many other people, anticipating the match against Federer. And it was a surprise, you know, to see Millman win the match. But I watched the second part of the match, and I mean, Roger was not playing well. It was not his day. He was missing a lot. But Millman is the kind of a player that makes you miss the balls, you know, and makes you win the point, earn the point. He doesn't miss a lot himself, so he just runs left, right, you know, gets a lot of balls. Very slow conditions, slow balls, and he just gets a lot of balls back.
Djokovic is a two-time champion at Flushing Meadows, but with the stifling heat and humidity, he said this year's tournament stands out as the toughest.
From my experience, and I can only talk about myself, and this has been definitely the toughest U.S. Open in the last, you know, 10 years that I played on in terms of conditions, yeah.
Djoko has been critical of the conditions inside Arthur Ashe Stadium, saying the roof has affected air ventilation designed to keep the players cool. He said whether it's night or day, it feels like a sauna. His opponent, John Millman, trains in Brisbane, Australia, one of the most humid places on earth, but even he suffered during the match. At one point, he was sweating so profusely, he needed to leave the court to change clothes. He reportedly told the chair umpire his sweat soaked through his shorts to such an extent he was unable to put the ball in his pocket. The umpire allowed him to leave without punishment. Well, in spite of the break and perhaps because of the conditions, Millman fell to Djokovic, and afterwards he said he gave his best against a tough opponent.
Novak's a champion, you know. It's not so easy. You play Roger and then to play Novak. And I think Novak sometimes flies under the radar a little bit, but the guy's won a lot of Grand Slams, and he knows how to win them, and he knows what this is all about, and he's probably one of the most informed players after winning Wimbledon, winning Cincinnati, coming into this tournament. So it's tricky, but, you know, I gave it a crack.
Djokovic will play his semifinal match on Friday against Japan's Kei Nishikori, who advanced after his win against Croatia's Marin Cilic. After the match, Nishikori said his quarterfinal match has gotten him ready for the next round.
We'll try to play, you know, same like today, you know, being aggressive and, you know, positive out there and hope I can play another good tennis next round.
Nishikori lost 12 of his 14 meetings against Djokovic, but he says despite his record, he's up for the challenge.
I don't have great record against Novak, but always, you know, it's been a tough match last couple of years, and I seen a chance, but I haven't able to, you know, make the last step. But yeah, always excited to play Novak because it's a great challenge for me, and always exciting to play, you know, good players.
And as Sonny mentioned earlier, Nishikori has made history alongside countrywoman Naomi Osaka. Osaka is into the semifinals for the first time, and she is the first Japanese woman in 22 years to reach this stage of a Grand Slam. Osaka defeated Ukraine's Lysia Cyrenko in straight sets. And after her match, Osaka said she's got her game face on.
It means a lot, but for me, I feel like I was much more emotional for the quarters. And then now I feel like it's sort of like business again. I think it's because for me, like, quarters was sort of my mental goal, like, every time I played a Grand Slam. And then after I went into the quarters, I kind of want to keep going, so I feel like I have to be focused again and, like, keep trying really hard.
Osaka was born in Japan but moved to New York when she was still a toddler, and she says winning a title in New York would be especially meaningful.
Well, it definitely means a lot for me, and I always thought that if I were to win a Grand Slam, the first one I would want to win is the U.S. Open, because I've grown up here and... like, then my grandparents can come and watch, so I think it'd be really cool.
Osaka will next play American Madison Keys, who clinched her second consecutive U.S. Open semifinal with her win against Spain's Carla Suarez Navarro. After the match, Keys said it takes more than physical adjustments to improve her game.
I think I've gotten a lot better at managing my emotions once it gets to this part, and knowing that everything is going to be probably more amped up and not shying away from those, but just being really honest about it and talking about it and just, you know, embracing the moment and just trying to remind myself to actually have fun and enjoy the experience.
Keys leads Osaka 3-0 in head-to-head matches with her most recent victory at this year's Wimbledon tournament. But Keys says she still expects a close match.
I think she has obviously had a really great year, and I mean, we played on clay, which is a completely different match for both of us. We've had a couple of close matches on hard court before, so I know it's going to be a tough match. She's obviously playing really well to make the semifinals, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
The women play their semifinal matches Thursday evening. I'll have results tomorrow, so stay tuned. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. We've enjoyed your coverage of the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, another VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, will have a spicy golf package for us.
I put myself under pressure in practice, and then it comes up trumps on a Sunday.
There's nothing rotten in Denmark. In fact, it's pretty good on the golf course. There was a thrilling all-English four-way playoff at the Made in Denmark tournament. Matt Wallace emerged the winner after two extra holes.
I needed something crazy like birdie in the last three, and I did it. So then to birdie the two playoff holes. The putt on the first playoff hole was the main one.
And his win didn't come by chance.
Hard work again pays off. Determination, grit, everything that I believe takes to win a tournament. You need to putt well to win. And I've found a way to get it done.
English playoff compatriot Stephen Brown was just happy to still be standing.
Considering my start to the week, I was struggling with a bit of an injury and walked off the course on Tuesday. So to be standing here now, I would have taken it 100%.
Jonathan Thompson is doing well for his second year on the European Tour.
It's the first time, really, I've played in front of crowds this big. And, you know, what a week. And it's just great. You can draw off them as well, you know. You can tell when people want you to do well, and it's so nice.
And he's excited to keep going.
A massive step forward for me, and I'm guessing a pretty big move up the rankings. So, you know, if I keep some form like this, there's nothing to say, you know, the wind's not round the corner.
Veteran Lee Westwood rounded out the extra holes foursome.
Yeah, we've had great fun out there. It's been brilliant. You know, it's lovely to have, you know, your girlfriend on the bag, and, you know, the week was really light-hearted, and I was doing all my own yardages, and, yeah, it was just fun from start to finish.
South African Eric Van Rooyen missed the playoff by one shot.
I've been working hard. I was at home for 5 weeks. I did have a nice break off the Open, but I wasn't sitting on the couch, and I was working on my game, and I think it's showing.
And Torbjørn Olesen of Denmark finished 8 shots back, but won perhaps a bigger prize by securing the final automatic playing spot for Team Europe at the Ryder Cup.
It's been a tough week. It's been a long week. A lot of things on my mind. It's been difficult, but it's been great to learn that different kind of pressure. And yeah, it's just been so different. And I think I've learned a lot from myself this week. And I think I handled it pretty well, but I feel pretty happy now.
Matt Wallace has little time to enjoy his win. He's already on the course in Switzerland at the Omega European Masters.
I love to try and win, and I love winning. I got a taste of it last year, and I wanted to do it again on the bigger scale, and I want to do it in bigger and better tournaments. So a goal of mine is just to try and keep winning, and it starts off by trying to win this week.
English compatriot and 2015 winner Danny Willett is back.
Yeah, no, it's a special place. I think ever since I came here for the first time, I think it's a place that a lot of the guys come and play. You know, look where we are, it's a beautiful place, and yeah, the golf course lends itself to quite a lot of birdies, makes it really exciting, and just a cool week all around.
It's been a while since German Martin Keimer has swung a club in Crans, Montana.
I mean, you just need to look around how beautiful the place is. Yeah, I haven't been here in 7 years, and I have very good memories, but, you know, after 2011, I played quite a lot in America, and then it never really fit my schedule, playing so much in America, and coming here, it's not the easiest place to get to. Once you're here, you know, it's a place that you don't want to leave. So I look forward to the week. I didn't remember the golf course being in such good shape, but I think the greens are very, very good. So I look forward to play.
Although the scenery is spectacular, playing conditions in Switzerland are not what most golfers are used to.
The greens, they are very firm. They're good, but they're firm. So if you don't hit the right clubs, I think it will be very tricky to hit the greens on the right side, but I think the altitude is the biggest challenge this week.
That's German golfer Martin Keimer. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy golf package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The French football club Paris Saint-Germain will be without star striker Kylian Mbappe for 3 matches. The 19-year-old Mbappe, who was voted the best young player at this year's World Cup in Russia, was suspended for 3 matches after he was sent off during a French league match last weekend. Mbappe received a red card in stoppage time during PSG's 4-2 win over Nimes. Finally, on Friday night in the eastern U.S. city of Springfield, Massachusetts, the Basketball Hall of Fame will induct its class of 2018. Let's give a few shout-outs for the new Hall of Famers. Steve Nash, born in Johannesburg, one of the NBA's all-time great point guards. He'll be joined in the Basketball Hall of Fame by a few other NBA star guards, including Jason Kidd, Ray Allen, just a great long-range shooter, Ray Allen, and Maurice Cheeks. They're all part of the Basketball Hall of Fame's class of 2018. And that wraps up the September 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Operations to rid Iraq and Syria of ISIS remnants are well underway, said Colonel Sean Ryan, spokesperson for Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve. In Iraq, operations by the Iraqi Security Forces, or ISF, are securing the country and pursuing ISIS remnants in the remote deserts of Anbar and in the mountains of Kirkuk, Diyala, and Salah ad-Din, said Colonel Ryan. The ISF continues to locate, identify, and destroy ISIS remnants, in addition to securing roads and infrastructure from attacks by malign actors. In the first week of August alone, the operations conducted by the ISF across Iraq led to the arrest of more than 50 suspected terrorists and 500 improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, and munitions. Additionally, the ISF continues to clear and secure central infrastructure, such as the busy roads of Erbil and Kirkuk, Hawija, Samarra, Salah ad-Din, and the region's power structure, which are subject to a number of ISIS terror attacks recently. In Syria, said Colonel Ryan, coalition forces and partners are preparing for Phase 3 of Operation Roundup, whose ground offensive has not yet begun. Operation Roundup is an effort to accelerate the defeat of ISIS in the last territory they hold in the Euphrates River Valley. As the Syrian Defense Forces, or SDF, are preparing for the offensive, they are also providing safe passage for civilians leaving Hajin, the last ISIS stronghold in the Euphrates River Valley, and assuring that ISIS fighters attempting to flee the area are apprehended. In the remainder of northeast Syria, local security forces are securing cities through law enforcement and counter-IED activities, enabling civilian stabilization efforts to continue and preventing the resurgence of ISIS. Finally, stabilization efforts across Iraq and Syria continue to prevent the return of conditions under which ISIS arose. In Iraq, the government is working to improve living conditions across the country by addressing areas of greatest need, particularly in rebuilding infrastructure damaged by the fight against ISIS and providing access to daily necessities such as electricity and water. In Syria, stabilization efforts are focused on saving lives, demining, water, electricity, and the delivery of necessities. The United States and its allies are committed to not only driving ISIS out of Iraq and Syria, but making it impossible for them to ever return.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a discussion with Ugandan pop star Bobby Wine on his arrest, detention, and release, and why he came to the U.S. to seek medical attention. Ugandan politics in the spotlight on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.